Welcome to Daytime Confidential, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com, the first podcast of its kind featured in iTunes. I am your host, Luke, and with me today we have Foxy. How are you?
Not too bad.
We have Tina, our regular guest. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. We have Danielle, who's with us as well. How are you?
Hello. Good. How are you?
Pretty good. And making his second appearance on this podcast, we have, from over the World Wide Web and down a telephone line near him, Jay, how are you?
How are you doing?
Folks, we're going to be discussing our Performer of the Week in this episode and discussing a little bit of daytime ratings, so stay tuned. Before we just dive into the Performer of the Week and the ratings, just a quick note for all of those of you who are missing Lisa, please send your get well emails to podcast@daytimeconfidential.com. She has been battling some stuff health-wise, and so I would encourage you all to send her your well wishes so that she can feel better. Hopefully she'll be back with us soon. So we're just sort of mixing things up. We're going to see how this goes. We got five people on it. I think this may be a record for an episode that I have hosted. I know that you ladies have done your girls' night out, and there might have been five with you there, but I've never actually been in charge of five on Daytime Confidential. So, what do you guys want to discuss first, ratings or Performer of the Week?
Let's start off with ratings.
Okay.
Sure.
Now, I'm not sure who has all checked out the latest ratings, but these are as follows. Coming in at number one, of course, you have Young and the Restless, 4.1. Bold and the Beautiful, 2.9. As the World Turns, 2.4. Days of Our Lives, 2.3.
Woo-hoo!
General Hospital, 2.3. All My Children, 2.1. One Life to Live, 2.1. And Guiding Light at 1.9. That was for the week of December 31st through January 4th. I was going to say, any first impression, folks?
Well, you have to remember that that was, you know, last week when we had New Year's. So, I mean, you did have one day off for the soaps and stuff. I'm quite amazed with Days of Our Lives being so high above, especially all the ABC soaps.
I don't understand how One Life to Live can be the lowest rated of the three ABC soaps.
Right. I think One Life to Live is kicking right now. One thing I know with my family are, you know, Days has always been such a holiday soap that I think when people are off that might have not watched in months, they want to tune in because the Horton Christmas tree and all those episodes are always so classic, but you know, I think that might have helped.
Is it also possible that it sort of just sort of happened to coincide with the breaking word that Drake Hogestyn is officially back and we started seeing him on our screens again? I've been catching up since I was on vacation and on my Days of Our Lives episodes. Was that his first week back?
Was it this week or last week did he? Well, they started teasing it, but the press has been building it up. You know that they're basically, you know, going, okay, we're redoing our horrible decision here. So,
did he ever actually leave?
Yes.
Was he ever actually off contract?
Yeah. Hogan Sheffer fired him. He did an interview this week with Soap Opera Digest saying that he was fired by the new head writer. And Tim Corday basically had to redo it because the fans went nuts.
Was it the fans or is the Scab writers bringing him back?
Said that Ken Corday wrote the re-entrance himself
because of
the fan reaction. I mean, I don't know. There's rumors that Hogan Sheffer's out, and it kind of makes me think it might be true because he really didn't hold any punches in dissing him in that interview. So,
I mean, Corday, he meddles more than Brian Franz does. And
what bothers me about that, though, Luke, is, okay, Corday is touted as a hero in the article, but Corday runs Days, right?
Yep.
How did he let Hogan Sheffer decide to kill John Black anyway? You know, I mean, how was he? I mean, was he not in that meeting?
I totally. I think it's been an all big scam from the beginning. I think that if they were going to do this, they should have kept him dead much longer because to me, he was basically, I mean, if you include the amount of time he was off screen from the last flashback after his death, he was only off screen for 6 weeks at most, maybe eight.
It's a long vacation.
Yeah. I mean, there's no reason to take and go through everything that they did just for network. Granted, they did get a boost in the ratings during sweeps, and apparently now with him being back, I mean, it was down at 1.8, 1.9, 2.0 range, and now it's up to 2.3. Maybe there are a few actors still out there like Drake Hogestyn who can literally get a 0.4 increase just by them being on the show.
But I also think this is a total Band-Aid solution right now. But I want to wonder if you would have kept him away, say, like your idea of keeping him off for 6 months to a year and then try bringing him back. It's still going to be that phony, oh, we're just always going to bring somebody back from the dead, they're never going to stay dead idea on days. But what I think right now, it's he's still fresh in everybody's memories. All the fans are so mad at the writers for killing him off in the first place. Bringing him back so soon actually might have been beneficial. That's why we are seeing the big bump in ratings, because you know they're so excited because they fired him in the first place, and then to bring him back right away, well, of course they want to see what's happening.
Well, you got to realize they have this...
Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
That's okay, I was just going to say, they have the same rating as GH, and on GH, nobody stays dead.
Well, but, okay.
I think the fans probably feel vindicated here, because at least that showed, you know, that they have a voice again, because, I mean, the boards were going crazy when they, you know, when the rumors first started, you know, months back that they were going to fire Drake Hogeston, you know. I think this probably makes some of the fans go, well, we do count, you know, because so many times, I mean, Hogan Sheffer's known for that. I mean, when he went to As the World Turns, where I thought he was great, he killed Jake and Vicky. I mean, that was a major super couple. But, I mean, his vision is what he goes by. He just comes in and he's like, I don't care if this was a super couple, I'm killing the guy.
The other thing is, Tina, you made the point about General Hospital killing off everybody. General Hospital may kill people off, but with the exception of, say, maybe Helena and a couple others who come back from the dead occasionally, Days of Our Lives brings back everybody from the dead. I mean,
yes.
Without
CH
question.
And
we've brought back Helena. We've brought back Robert. We've brought back
everybody. But we don't use them correctly like Days does.
But Tina, the extent that Days of Our Lives brings back Jack.
Yeah, Days has no basis in reality anymore. I mean, they couldn't get away with doing a social story. You know how it used to be balanced? You know, we had Isabella's pancreatic cancer, but then we also had, like, the supernatural stuff. You can't do a real story on Days anymore because, you know, the cancer is going to be caused by Stefano or some mind chip put in. I mean, they've lost all believability. You know, all folks have kind of mixed that supernatural with the realistic, but Days just, they've thrown it out. I mean, it's just you never believe anything on there.
Days is also the one that basically slaughtered half the cast and told everybody that they were going to be dead,
right. Wouldn't
be coming back. And then 6 months later, they're all on an island. I mean, Days of Our Lives has taken bringing back and killing off people to a different
art form. And then when they bring back fan favorites, they just bring them back and have them be window dressing. Great, you bring back Doug and Julie. Why not give Doug Alzheimer's disease? Why don't we just bring him back and sit him all around and let him read love letters to Colleen and Santos? I mean, why bring back all these great signature characters and then just have them do nothing? You know,
that's what General Hospital does.
That's what General Hospital
does. GH brought them back and used them to boost ratings. I mean, they brought back Robert, and it was a short storyline.
It was ridiculous. It was the stupidest thing I ever saw. You know, I didn't think Robert Scorpio's story was all that good. It could have been better. It was terrible. I mean, they had him and Luke running around in Boy Scout outfits trying to rescue Sky. It was so stupid. You know, there was no, you know, drama involved. It was all silly. And it was just, you know, humorous banter, which is funny sometimes. But, I mean, they wasted him. And it was just ridiculous.
Well, here's
I think
the thing.
they used the characters on GH, kind of the classic characters or the spy characters. They do kind of spoof them now when they come back. But I think at least that's more of a, at least they're still, their character is still core and intact. I mean, Dave brings back Jack and Jennifer. There's no, you know, Nick and Nora type solving mysteries. They're just, Jack is dead. Jack is dying. I mean, they totally lose what made the character. The character's great. You know, at least Robert's still a detective, you know, or still some kind of spy or something.
Making Anna a girly girl over Eli Love is not
a I hated that. I hated that. I have to admit.
That was horrible.
Okay.
It's kind of like, do you want them back? How bad do you want them? I mean, but yeah, that
not
was
bad.
Painful to watch.
Yeah, right.
Well, before we leave the ratings behind us, let's just discuss the ABC shows for a minute, because we touched on it briefly at the beginning. One Life to Live is at the lowest. It is tied with All My Children. They're both coming in at number 6. We'll discuss.
That's amazing. One Life is great right now.
It is awesome right now.
One Life to Live is, in terms of a show to watch, is the must-see show. I mean, we're going to discuss this in additional episodes for this week, but I was just glued to my television this week when the whole thing took place.
Well,
it was impressive. I mean,
well, what
was the closest thing to a classic soap?
Right.
Right. One Life to Live's biggest problem is that it has to get away from what was done to it in the beginning of last year with Dena Higley and the crap she was writing. And people just have to come back to it, and it's going to be very difficult to get back a lot of the fans that they lost.
Well, and see, that's what I've wondered about One Life to Live, and I'm going to pose this to everybody. We can go around real quickly, and then we'll move on to the performer of the week. Is it possible that ABC fans have become so accustomed to General Hospital and All My Children type stunts and the type of writing that Dena Higley was doing that they are not accustomed to high quality writing like you're getting on One Life to Live now, and that for many respects was on As the World Turns, for as fairly consistent on As the World Turns? Is it possible that because the writing has been so bad and on General Hospital and All My Children that ABC fans' taste for good writing isn't there? Foxy, what do you think?
Well, I just wonder, because All My Children is sucking so bad, and then it leads into One Life to Live, that all the fans are just so disappointed with AMC at the beginning, they're just not going to tune into One Life to Live, just out of sheer, you know, disappointment by All My Children. I think it's just sort of a lash effect. But, you know, for all the fans' sake, they must tune into One Life to Live, especially to keep it out of the basement. It's one of the best shows, definitely one of the best shows, right next to Young and the Restless. And if people just start watching it, and I think the word gets out that this is the best bloody soap on there with the writing right now, perhaps, you know, it will top the ABC soaps. That's what has to happen.
Danielle, what is your thoughts on it?
I agree with what Foxy said. You know, a lot of times what happens is you know, you've got All My Children in General Hospital. They're stinking so bad right now that people probably gave up hope, especially when Dena Higley was around, and they were like, forget it. We're not watching this. And, I mean, I wasn't watching it. And then when I heard, you know, they got new head writers and that, I went back. And I said, hey, let me, you know, give it a shot again. But I think it'll come around. I think in another 6 months it'll come around again. You know, people are going to start coming around to it.
Tina?
You know?
Well, I think that the string of writers we've had on One Life to Live the last couple of years, not just Higley, but writers before her, have so desecrated the vintage characters and the veterans on the show that people just became completely disgusted. I mean, it became the Spencer Truman Show. And who really cared about Spencer Truman? Absolutely nobody.
And before that, the Santees, and before that, I mean...
Yeah.
Right. It basically, the show revolved around anyone besides a core character. And now, it's taking some time for Ron to bring it back to the core characters, but he's doing it. Every storyline involves an integral family, an integral character, integral core families. And he's slowly bringing it all together. And, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. It's going to take time, and fans are going to have to keep listening to everybody going on and on and on about what a great show it is. And slowly but surely, the fans are going to come back.
Okay, my question would be, is it possible for him to have enough time to get fans to come back before Franz stumps them? Jay?
No. I think Franz, he might be, you know, and I'm not the big Franz hater that a lot of people are, but I think that he would have to be an idiot not to realize, you know, I mean, all the press, you know, I mean, yeah, there hasn't been a ratings surge, but come on, the show is a gem now, and I think he has to know that. I have not watched One Life to Live for a long time, but I think one of the main things with all of daytime, and ABC does this better than most, but it's promotion. Remember when, you know, the soaps were still really popular? We were bombarded with commercials and advertisements and magazines like Cosmo and stuff that you wouldn't even see a soap, you know, add in now. This show is really great. They're bringing back all these old faves for these little brief storylines like the Alex lady, Alanoff, and stuff like that. But it's like no one's really talking about it. All you ever hear about are All My Children or GH. But it's like the little show that could. And, I mean, I think it's – I mean, I really – don't see how the ratings aren't reflecting that, but
Well, and
I also think that, let me look at Santa Barbara, perfect example. The show was brilliant for most of its run, but the ratings just never managed to get near Days, or, you know.
They never supported it.
And a lot of times fans don't want, people, you know, I have friends and family who watch the dumbest shows for years, and they don't care. It's as long as you give them what they want. And that's the one thing I think about soap fans, and that's why Days and YNR, which are my hearts because I grew up watching them, they're both frustrating the heck out of me because we want our characters to stay the same. I mean, we want growth. Yeah, we don't want you still being a tramp when you're a grandma, Erica. But, you know, we still want these characters to be like these, you know, want them to...
She's just showing, you know, she still's got it.
We want them, when we tune in and we want to see Jill Abbott cussing someone out, we don't want to see her pining over G-Men when she's dated him 3 months. We don't want to see all this stuff that we don't know. We don't want to see Chloe being a hateful whore about Brady, who we know she loves.
Yeah.
We don't want to see Sammy crying and boo-hooing. We want to see Sammy hurting somebody. And,
well,
you know, it's just not, they've lost the core of these characters. And that's what people tune in and they're like, what is Hope doing?
Well,
like, what is so-and-so doing? You know, did we just have a whole scene on Days about diapers with Bo and Hope? Why isn't he tackling her in a park in a wedding dress, telling her how much he loves her? That's what we want.
Okay,
you know?
Well, I hate to distract you from your rant, but speaking of media promotion, tune in to our episode later in the week when we are going to be discussing the real Greenlee promotional debacle. But before we get to that...
I have a lot to say about that.
Well,
yeah.
All five of us are going to discuss that, so in our next episode. So, Performer of the Week, Foxy, who is your Performer of the Week? And tell us, which shows do you watch?
I watch As the World Turns and Days of Our Lives.
Okay.
And so, my Performer of the Week, do you want me to say it right now?
Yep.
It has to be Marlena Evans. Her performance this week, just, you know, finding out that John was alive and the whole discovery here on Friday was absolutely amazing. I'm not sure if it's just unbelievable, and especially the whole scene between her and EJ and pleading with him, trying to get him to tell her whether or not John is alive and where he was being held was just absolutely incredible. And that was, I think, the best scenes I've seen in Days and months.
Okay, now question, just to clarify, you are in Canada, you are a day ahead. Is this an episode that is aired in the U.S., or is this something that people will be seeing actually on Monday, the day they could be listening to this episode?
Good question. If you watched it on
Friday, wouldn't that mean that that's our Monday episode?
Right.
Okay, well, folks, tune in for Monday's episode of Days of Our Lives, and you'll get to see what Foxy's talking about. Danielle, who's your Performer of the Week this week?
Well, and I might need some help from my girl Tina here, because I haven't watched One Life to Live yet. I always save that for the best for last, because right now I'm on Friday's General Hospital, and I really don't really have a Performer of the Week on there right now, except it was sad when Sky was leaving. You know, I feel bad.
Oh,
for her.
Yeah, it was.
But it broke my heart. You know, it was like, and I hope she goes back to all my children.
Amen.
I really do. I really do. She could be used so well everywhere in any of those storylines there right now. So
she could even go back to One Life to Live, too.
Yeah,
yes, she could.
But yeah, I'm going to say right now, I mean, I'm sure, and I think Tina might back me up on this, she may not, but I'm sure Kathy Breyer really hit it this week.
Oh, she did. Got I can it. Agree with you that.
Oh, yes, yeah, she did.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yes, yeah, she did.
If
then
she,
she's my, yes.
If she didn't have an Emmy nomination locked up with her courtroom scenes, she's got one locked up now. Or she should, at least. Tina, who is your Performer of the Week?
Well, to be honest, mine was going to be Kathy Breyer and Marcy, but I will switch it up. That's okay, because there's a lot to pick from on One Life to Live, and I'm going to go with Erica Slezak, Vicki Davidson.
Oh, you liked her, did you?
Her sitting there playing the, you know, the heart starting the rejection, it was so believable, to me anyway, just the way she played it. It wasn't like, oh my god, I'm falling down, I can't stand up. It was the slow, gradual build to her starting to pass out and not doing well and needing her medication. It was what this soap has always been known for. Drama that actually keeps you on the seat of, you know, the edge of your seat, wanting to see the next day's episode.
I totally agree with you, Kathy Breyer. If they have not got her back into a contract, because there was rumors that she was going to be leaving early in the new year, let's hope and pray that they've got her another contract so that she doesn't leave us. Jay?
Okay, well, I think we're all like great minds think alike. I want to go with someone else, but Kathy Breyer is definitely my runner-up. I love her. A friend of mine that I argue with on the message boards can't stand her because she thinks she's over the top. And I'm like, no, that's just her theater training. You know, she's great. I love how she emotes. Like I said, she's my runner-up, so that means I'm probably going to get stoned for this. But I have to give it to Laura Wright, Carly.
Before you go into your explanation, we are going to be discussing Carly's behavior this week in either the episode coming up or else the ABC episode, one of the two.
I'll keep some gems for that, but okay. I'll give you this. Let me give you a little bit of back history. Luke knows this. I was the biggest Tamara Braun fan of Carly in the history. I probably need medicine for it. So I've really never liked anyone else in the role. But for Laura Wright not to have played Jason's friendship for, 2 years, she looked like that. Like, when she found out that was that boy's baby, that it was a nice digging in her heart. Like, they had been there. Like, she had been the one there with him for the last 12 years. I know y'all are not happy with GH right now, but I am so happy with it right now. The Scab Writers can stay forever because we're getting lines and emotions.
Oh, no, I agree. You know, they are much better, yeah.
That confrontation with Elizabeth, who I love. I love the character of Elizabeth. She's my heart. But she ate her lunch, and it was just brilliant. I mean, the stuff she was saying, it was so realistic. It's stuff that I've said when I'm mad at somebody, any dog in heat can have a baby. You know, I mean, that's just realistic. I loved it. And, you know, when she was like,
Carly. It was who
I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. And the look on her face. And then when she went to Jason and is like, I need to talk to you about your kid. I'm like, oh, my God, this is great. You know, when is this? This does not stop. But, I was a Carly addict this week.
See, this is where the writers, you know, they start off Carly's reactions so well, and everything is going great, and then it goes over the top.
Right.
You know, because this is the Carly I like. You know, if they had to turn her back into a bitch, because that's my main thing, you know, everybody was like, when Tamara left, we want the old Carly back. I liked Tamara's more nuanced kind of making Carly a little more of a romantic heroine who still had a bite to her, but she just wasn't an in-your-face monster woman. Well, that's what they said they wanted. Okay, well, what we've had is these adventures following Jax and all that stuff. That's not a true soap bitch. If she's going to be a bitch, make her get in people's faces and act a fool. You know, that's what I liked about
right.
that scene.
And,
I mean, it was
just
great.
That's fine, and I just would have preferred that instead of getting all up in Liz and Jason's faces, if she had just gotten all up in Sam's face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I hate Sam. I hate Sam, but I liked her this week, too, because she just had this cat that ate the canary thing while she was telling Carly, you know. But, I mean, I hate Sam. I really wish they would destroy her, you know.
someone needs to tell her it's winter because she's walking around in tank tops and whatnot. And I
exactly, that, you know, her fashion sense is the least
not
of
there.
Her.
Yeah, her fashion sense is the best thing about her, and it sucks.
Okay,
but at least she wasn't blubbering and pulling her hair behind her ear and saying, you know, my mom and I don't have a GED, and, you know,
Jason.
Okay.
My uterus. Where's my uterus? I gave you the best uterus of my life.
Brought in the uterus.
Okay. Before the Sam bashing continues any further, before I lose all my Sam fans from this podcast, which I don't want to do as much as
evil hate mail.
Exactly. My performer of the week, I'm actually going with Chris Stack from One Life to Live, who is the new Michael McBain. I chose him because the whole Nathaniel Marston, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, controversy went down regarding everything. There was a big question as to whether or not he would be able to have the same type of scenes or as good of scenes with Kathy Breyer as Nathaniel Marston had. And because we love Nathaniel and Kathy together. And this week, I was so impressed by his scenes with Kathy Breyer in there. The emotion that was on his face for these to be his first scenes with this actress, with the child, and everything be as intense as it is. I was really, really impressed with him. And it's literally to the point where I'm sort of hoping they keep him around if Kathy does end up leaving. And if they stay, I hope they chug full steam ahead with a storyline for them, because I'd really like to see some more scenes with them. So he's my performer of the week. Each person want to have a final thought real quick, a minute or less, each person?
If I can piggyback you there.
Okay.
Now, okay, I'm not a long time One Life to Live watcher, just about 3 years, but in a show, in my opinion, that's rebuilding, you already lost the popular guy that played that part. I get what you're saying. He is a good actor, but I'm saying get rid of him. The McBains are not a core family. They're kind of at the end of an era with this coupling. You know, really they were at an end when they killed the first character that he played, you know, and they kind of tried to regurgitate it. I feel like Kathy Breyer has graduated from little supporting character in the cutesy coupling. They can bring back a Joey Buchanan or someone else and pair her with that. She can stay and, you know, really become a core heroine on this show now. I feel like her, you know, as we watch her come back from this, you know, because they can't make her a villain. But
I always wanted her involved with Will Rappaport.
Yes.
That would be a good
pairing. You know,
that would be a good pairing.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're running
out
of time.
You know.
We're running out of time. I hate to wrap this up. Final thought. Foxy?
I just wanted to say, as the world turns, it's also kicking out some great material right now, especially with Meg's pregnancy on the rocks and the whole conflict between Paul and Craig there. So just to stay tuned on that soap as well.
I'm going to have to cough for a moment there. Danielle?
Let's just hope for right now, some of these soaps that, you know, are doing a little bit better than the others, let's hope that sometime, you know, that some of the writers that we don't like stay away. You know, this is why I like the writer strike, because I'm telling you, these scab writers are doing pretty well, in my opinion, you know. So I don't know about the other, you know, networks and how they're doing, because I know, but Young and the Restless is out of material now, right?
I think scab writers have taken over for Young and the Restless.
So I think, you know, hey.
Okay.
Maybe they'll
be
permanent.
Well, I don't know exactly when the scab writing is running out for One Life to Live. I know it's run out on GH. I believe it's run out on All My Children as well. I just
actually
hope...
just to clarify on that.
Oh, that's right. They went FICOR, didn't they?
They took Financial Core. And if anybody needs to take FICOR, it's Carl Vaughty. That's just my opinion, because he needs to be keeping on the head of that show. Okay.
Well, he put some great people in, like, assistant-type positions, so I don't know if he needs to take FICOR or if one of the assistants does, but I just hope that this wonderful thing that they've started with doesn't fall flat because of this strike.
Okay. Jay?
Well, you already gave me mine, but...
okay. In that case, I'll just...
I was going to say, well, just about writer strikes, I saw an interesting thing in Soap Opera Digest that some of my favorite storylines happened during the last, you know, big strike. Cruz and Eden got made, so did Patch and Kayla, so strikes are a good thing, I say, sometimes.
And
they killed Jesse Hubbard, and now they're bringing him back.
Yeah, they did kill him. Yeah. I saw that, but I wasn't an AMC fan back then. I am now.
Okay. And on that note, I will leave Jay with the final word. Be sure to tune in for our other episodes. We are going to be recording two more episodes with the five of us, so be sure to tune in for that. Until next time, we thank you for listening. Send your emails to podcast@daytimeconfidential.com. Write us a review on iTunes. Log in. Make sure you're registered, because if you aren't, it doesn't stick around. Be sure to drop by Daytime Confidential to comment on this episode or any other of the news topics we're discussing. And drop by the forums, tvfanonline.com/forums, where you can visit with the best bunch of daytime posters there is on the web. Until next time, we thank you for listening. So long, folks.
Bye-bye.
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 Bye.